Hello and welcome. I'm Shashank Mehta, founder at thewholetruthfoods.com, and you're listening to The Whole Truth Project. In this episode, our guest expert is Ingit Anand, and Ingit will be helping us decode endurance training. Ingit is a triathlete, he's a 5 times Ironman finisher, and an Ironman certified coach. Let's begin. Awesome. So, Ingit, we have had a small chat, but why don't you begin by, like, I think the listeners would love to know Ingit a little better, how he's, like, we know that you're a triathlon coach now, a certified coach, but I'd love for the listeners to know how you started and how you ended up getting into endurance sports.
I think I should start right from the school. Because being in the school, I was into the track and field. I was mainly into the 100 meter, 200 meter, and long jump. Long jump because the number of participants were less, so I could get the podium very easily. But anyways, I was into the athletics right from the school. And after passing out from school, I had a goal to join an Indian Army. And I started gym right after passing out from 12th. And since then, I realized that fitness is an important part of life. It's something I figured out during those days, like the way we brush our teeth daily. The same way fitness had to be in the lifestyle, you know. Every day, we spend around roughly 2 minutes to brush our teeth. And if I say our teeth are just maybe 1% of our body, then you can calculate how much time do we need to invest on the fitness. So from then, from that time, I started with the gym, in the college, of course, hostel life on and off. And then in the master's, I got very regular with the gym. And then I joined the job in Mumbai. You know, the life in Mumbai is quite hard to juggle with time. So, but still I continued with my gym. I remember when I was in master's, I had a dream. When I saw a guy in the gym who was running on a treadmill for 45 minutes, and I was like, how can someone run on treadmill for 45 minutes? 45 minutes on a belt, which is making you run. And I was like, you know, this is something. This is something. And back in those days in the gym, we were used to be on treadmill only for 5 minutes, just to warm up and all. So somewhere in the mind, I had a goal of running long, whether it could be 45 minutes or 50 minutes, that's all. In 2011 or 10, I read an article. I was working with KPMG then. I read an article about Milind Soman running from Mumbai to Delhi. It was some NDTV Greenathon or something like that. And, you know, I was just lost in a moment that how can someone run from one city to another city? I mean, I am thinking about 45 minutes as a goal, and the guy is running from one city to another city, 1,500 kilometers in some 30 days. And that's when I decided to try the long distance running. So from, I can say from 2011, I started participating in half marathon without any training, had no clue what is hydration, what is nutrition, what is the pre-race day, post-race day. And I just went for a first half marathon and did in some 2 hours, 38 minutes, something like that. I was quite happy, but I had no idea that next day I would not be able to go to office. And exactly that happened. I took a leave. I said, this is a very, you know, a sport that drains a lot of energy. And from 2011, I started into the endurance sports. In 2015, till 2015, I have done a couple of half marathons, and it was more of like, you know, planning a small vacation, going to Nashik for a run, and then exploring a place like that. Not a serious kind of running. And I was very happy with the half marathon. Full marathon was, I could not dream of full marathon, because half was enough for me to take the load. And in 2014 or 15, I did my first full marathon. By the time I reached the finish line, the entire setup was winding up. There was no medal. Medal counter was also wound up. I remember it was in Ahmedabad in 2014. And in 2015, I met a lady called Kimberly, and I read that she's an Iron Man. And I Googled what is Iron Man. And when I read about Iron Man, 3.8 kilometer swim, first of all, 3.8 kilometer swim. That was the first time I heard of swimming kilometer. Before that, I have always heard of swim in 50 meters, 100 meters, 200 meters, but never kilometer. Then 180 kilometer bike and 42.2 kilometer full marathon run. And I thought this is not meant for human being. I mean, this is really something which is, I could not digest that a human being can do this much. And from then, you know, a seed was there in the back of the mind and subconscious mind that, you know, something, I need to do something like this, you know. And the reason I wanted to do an Ironman, back then it was a dream, it was not even a goal. The reason was, it is considered to be the toughest one-day endurance race in the world. And I think, you know, this is something I should aim for. It was the other thing that I could not even swim 100 meters. And then I started training for the swimming in Ahmedabad. In 2015, I did the Chennai Triathlon. And I think Chennai Triathlon provided the good training ground for all the Indian triathletes in India. And in 2016, I got married in 2016. And one of my very close friends, she knew that I wanted to do an Ironman. I think my wife and she coordinated and she gave me the gift, wedding gift of Ironman Malaysia. Without even asking me whether Ironman Malaysia is a first timer friendly course or not, which course should I join? And trust me, I'm sharing very honestly. I was at the immigration counter at Mumbai airport. I just opened up, you know, sometimes you get the spam mail about Ironman, this race, oh, not spam mail, but information. The registration of this race is open and all that. So from 2016, I started serious into the triathlon. I did my first Ironman in November 2016. After that, in 2017, I did Ironman Italy. In 2018, I did two Ironman Philippines and Ironman Australia. 2019, I did Ironman Hamburg. So as of now, five Ironman I have done. And in 2017, I did my certification course with the Ironman University because I really like this sport. I like the sport and I enjoy the sport and I do it for myself. So that's a brief journey about, you know, how it started and now how I love triathlon and it's an amazing sport.
That's a supremely amazing journey, especially because you started like a normal guy who thought that 45 minutes on the treadmill must be so tough.
Exactly.
Yeah, and in your entire journey, what really interests me is that, you know, it's like climbing one hill to realize that there's a taller hill that you can climb, climbing that hill to realize that there's a taller hill that you can climb. And at every point, you keep telling me that, you know, you saw Milind Soman running 1500 kilometers. When you did that, you saw some woman doing 4 kilometers of swimming and how you kept crawling upwards. So what I want to ask you is, see, most of us start onto endurance like that only, right? You wonder how can someone run 10 kilometers. And then once you get there, you start going from there. So as someone who's just beginning to get onto endurance sports treadmill, how would you suggest someone starts? And let's touch upon, you know, all the four big things that you spoke of, which is pre, post, nutrition, hydration. How should one start first from a mindset point of view and then from a preparation point of view?
See, I mean, for a beginner, first of all, you need to get active. You know, it is a process. I think it is a process. The reason I could get into the endurance sport very well because I had a good background in the gym. I did the strength training for almost 12 years back then. So there is first of all, if any person who is living a sedentary lifestyle, it is very important to get active. So you have to start small, you know. The person who is leading a sedentary lifestyle, you know, his body has become accustomed to the sitting on the chair or sofa or whole time not doing any activity. So it's very important to start very slow and very small. So, you know, one can start with the walking maybe 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers, then gradually after 15, 20 days of walking, when your body starts responding to that activity, one can incorporate jog and then make a combination of jog and walk and keep it either time bound or kilometer bound, but make it small, something like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and go up to 1 hour. Make a combination of jog, walk, get comfortable. When you are going out for running or jogging, carry water initially so that you can hydrate yourself. So it's very important to start small. So the first thing is get active. Once you get active, start with 15 minutes, only 15 minutes. And you know, in 3 months, you should target about 1 hour of an endurance activity. It could be jogging combined with walk, or maybe slow run. That way your body will be able to adopt the change without creating any injury. That's very important. And if now today, I mean, probably in every town of India, there is a running community. Okay, join them. You will interact with a lot of like-minded people. Everyone started from, you know, scratch. Everyone started from 0 kilometers. So they can share a good input about, you know, how to build up the volume, how to build up the intensity, which are the good and safe running route, which is very important in our country. And you will, you know, other point, you will make a new social circle, you know. It gives you a very new way of the life. So I think for a beginner, start small, make realistic goal. And once you achieve something like 1 hour, 1.5 hour, figure out your goal, whether you enjoy running or not. If you enjoy running, figure out your goal, what you want to do. You want to do a half marathon, in what time frame? 6 months, 1 year, and do a structured training. It will help a lot. If somebody who does a structured training to reach point A, if the structured training will help you to reach point A in 6 months. If you train randomly, you may take 1 year to 1.5 year to reach that point when I'm talking about timing. So if somebody who wants to run the half marathon in 2 hours or 2 hours, 15 minutes, and if you have a good base, like you are comfortable with the 10 kilometer jogging or running with the walk break, if you do a structured training for 6 months, you can definitely do half marathon in 2 hours, 15 minutes or 2 hours, 30 minutes. And if you train on your own, just random runs and all that, of course, it will help you to stay fit. But you may take more time to achieve the goal when I'm saying the time. So I think it's very important to have the structured training or a coach in place so that you know what you need to do. So today when I wake up, I know what is my workout, what I need to execute, how I need to execute. So that's very important. You know, everyone needs a direction in life, whether it is a profession. And same way, the endurance sport is like this only. You need some guidance, some structure to follow.
So if I may ask, Ingrid, that, you know, when all of us start running, and we were talking about this before the cast, is we think bhagna hi to hai.
Yeah.
Running is just run.
Yes.
When you say structured training, can you elaborate for our listeners, what does that mean?
So I tell you, structured training is a process. It's a process of maybe 1 year, 6 months, whatever time frame. It will depend on majorly 4 factors. How I perceive. Number one is, what is your fitness base? So for example, a person who has a fitness base, he may be jogging for 15 minutes, 20 minutes every day, or okay, so that is his fitness base, or maybe running 5 kilometers, something like that. So one is, what is your current fitness base? Number two, do you have any medical condition or any injury in the past? You know, it's very important. So first point is fitness base. Second point is any medical condition or any injury that you are prone to. You know, some people who start jogging and they start complaining about, I get the knee pain, or I get the chin pain, or I get the pain here and there. Those kind of pointers. Number three is, what is your goal? So your goal, it could be to run 10 kilometers, or to run a dream run in Mumbai Marathon, or to maybe run 21 kilometers half marathon in Mumbai Marathon, whatever. So number three is goal, and number four is what is the availability of time. So for example, if one can devote 45 minutes every day, and Sunday only family time, no exercise, you know. So based on this, the structure program is formulated. It is made. So usually for the running, the structured program would be like 3 or 4 runs per week. And every run is different. Every run catered to a different purpose. So one is aerobic run, one could be tempo run, one could be interval run, and one could be long run. Now, for example, interval run, you know, it could be a small run, maybe 7 kilometers, but you have to do interval. 400 meter, 10 times, and between two sets, you have a 2 minutes recovery. Tempo run is something which is faster than aerobic, but slower than race pace. Easy run means you just have to add the mileage, just enjoy the run. Fourth could be endurance run, long run that we do on weekend. So, you know, when you have this kind of guidance, when you have this kind of schedule, it helps you to reach a certain point, whether it is to achieve a good timing or to achieve a good distance without any injury.
Got it. So, what I find very interesting is, you know, when I started running, I was one of those that hates running. I've just got to shut up, pucker up and run.
Yes.
And I used to think it's about the legs.
Yes.
Right. That's the muscle being used. Everything else is a waste. Just run. Right. Now, when I hear you that you do, you know, these four kinds of runs, there are aerobic runs, interval runs, long runs where you add mileage, etc. I understand that there are different parts of the body and then eventually different parts of the mind that you're trying to train. So can you elaborate on that, that how running and endurance overall, including long distance running, which is where most of us start generally, is a full body sport and a mind sport?
Yeah. So I tell you, I would like to touch upon the biomechanics also. Since you have mentioned about, so in a structured training, for example, like if I'm training any runner, so I just add them or I just check their form, how they are running. Now, why it is important? Because running is a repetitive exercise. You know, you are swinging your hand millions of times in one run. And once you start swinging in a certain way, it gets into subconscious memory. Right? So it's very important to learn the and understand and implement the technique right from initial, because any activity which is repetitive, like running, swimming, cycling, once your body is habituated to certain movement, you know, whether it is swinging of hand like this or this, it's very difficult to correct it later on because your body has been used to that. You might be seeing a lot of people, you know, someone running with the head up, someone running with the head down, and crisscrossing from the center line of the body. So it's very important to understand. When I started running, I thought running is just running, you know, get up, lace up, run, that's all. But no, it's a whole body exercise. It's a very high impact exercise. One needs to understand. That is the reason I always say, once somebody starts fresh or after a hiatus of maybe 10 years, one has to take very slowly because your body will take time to respond. So it's very important to understand the biomechanics. The running form is very, very important. And once a coach or anyone who can guide you in the running form, he can suggest you the changes that you need to make. And you need to consciously make those changes you have to implement those changes consciously in every run so that it goes into your subconscious memory. Okay. So this is the biomechanics of the run. So form is very, very important. Form, technique. We have discussed about different kind of run. Now coming to the physical and mental, as you said, I think endurance sport is more of a mental game. It's physical, I would say it's just 10% physical, 90% mental. But having said 10%, that means you are trained enough for that distance. And how you execute that, it is on the mental level, you know. It's a constant battle between the mind and you. It's a rigorous battle between the mind and you. So it's more of a mental game. And it actually, endurance sport tests your mental strength. More than physical, it tests your mental strength. because physically you are already preparing that. But when it comes to the long distance running, triathlon, it actually tests your mental strength.
That's like, I think anyone who goes through endurance training reaches that conclusion that the body got tired at 5 kilometers only.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So whether you stretched it to 10 or 15 was all mental. And, you know, there's also this interesting stat that in every other sport in the world, the best players of that sport are in their early 20s, generally.
Yeah.
But not true for marathoning, not true for triathlon. It's generally the early 30s, mid 30s sort of people who are the best in their sport. Which generally correlates to mental strength. Once you've seen enough of life and you know how to get through pain, then you become a better endurance athlete. And from there, I want to ask you another question of, like, now that you're a coach and you see a lot of people trying to get onto endurance sports, is there a certain type? Like, do people get start leaning towards endurance sports a little later in life, like around 30 years or something? Or is it that you see across the spectrum people trying to do endurance sports? What have you seen in your experience?
See, I think, to be very honest, one of my trainers is 74 years. And I see people from all age group, whether it is early 30s or late 20s. Because early 20s, I think most of the college goers, they are focused on some other areas of the life, chilling in the life. They don't want to invest time in the endurance sport and all that. Unless and until somebody has a good circle about around the sport, or if that person is interested in sport. But I think the major chunk is late 30s, and 35 to 50 is a major chunk. I would not say midlife crisis, but, you know, it's a new way to, I think, de-stress, or it's new way to connect to your own self, or spend the time with a me time, you know. And that is the only time when you are digitally disconnected. You are just with yourself, whether you are cycling for 100 kilometers, 3 hours, 4 hours, or running 2 hours, 3 hours. So I think major is the, I would say, I think even if I look from my experience, major is between 30 to 50.
A lot of us get onto running initially for weight loss.
Yes.
That's at least how I started, because I realized it's the most efficient form of calorie burning. This is the best, fastest calorie burning that you can get in any exercise where you don't need any equipment at all. Right? So is that a good reason to get onto endurance? And second question is, especially because we are agreeing that, you know, it's the post 30 sort of folks who are getting on to endurance. They're also being told that actually, you know what, you need to do strength training, build your muscle strength. And many of us believe that strength and endurance are polar opposites. That, you know, long distance running will make you lose muscle. Long distance running ke saath you cannot be building muscle. So what's your take on both of these things? Running for weight loss and running as the opposite of strength training.
Now, coming to the running is one of the easiest method for, I would not say easiest, but it is the most accessible method for the weight loss. Because number one, everyone knows that when you run in aerobic zone, the body utilizes fat to give as a source of energy. The body utilizes fat as a source of energy, and hence you start losing the fat and weight when you run. So running is definitely a weight loss. Other reason is accessibility. You know, not everyone has the access to the gym. Or nowadays it's common, but, you know, maybe if you look back 10 years, gym was still a luxury. I know Bombay had a lot of gym, but I'm talking about other cities. So running was quite accessible, and it doesn't require much of preparation. You just need a t-shirt and normal shorts and just a pair of shoes, and then you can run. And then you have to maintain the consistency. So I would say it is the most, not easy, but most accessible way to lose the weight. Now coming to the strength training and running. So I had been to gym, you had been to gym, and we both know, you know, if you are into the strength training, muscle building, the coach will say, don't run on treadmill for more than 5 minutes. That's all. You just need to warm up. And we were made to believe that if we are into the strength training and if we get into endurance sport like run, we are going to lose the muscle. And hence, a lot of people, they don't get into endurance sport because they feel that when they get into endurance sport, they will lose the muscle. So both the worlds are different. If we look separately, gym and endurance, they both are opposite. But when you come to endurance sport, I will share my data also, just for your knowledge. So when I came to endurance sport, I lost weight. I lost weight, of course. I was beefed up. I had good muscles and all that. And suddenly, in a span of one year, when I was training seriously for the triathlon, and I started getting lean. And people used to ask me, are you okay? Is your health is fine because you lost weight so quickly? But when I checked my parameters, actually, I have not lost the muscle. I have lost all the fat. And when you come into endurance sports and start taking endurance sport to a next level, for example, the first half marathon is for fun. You know, you feel like on the top of the world. Wow, I did my first half marathon. And for that matter, first marathon is something like, you know, an average summit. I mean, it's something, then you calculate yourself among the less than 1% of the world population and you are there because you have done the full marathon. But then you realize that if you are into endurance sport, it is very important to do the strength training. They both go hand in hand. So basically, strength training will help you in three ways. Number one, it will help you to retain the muscle mass or increase the muscle mass. Number two, it will prevent you from the injury because endurance sport is repetitive. Repetitive stress on the muscle, on joints, on ligament. So it will help you to prevent from the injury. And third, it will help you to better your form. If you have a good core, it can help you to better your form, whether it is running, cycling, and swimming. From November 2019 to December 2020, I think in the first half, I have trained rigorously. I used to do my long run like 30 kilometers, 35, 38. My cycling was used to be like 6 or 7 hours on Sunday. I'm telling you my parameters. I have lost 3 kg weight, 65 to 62. I have gained muscle percentage by more than 2% in every area, and I have lost fat.
Wow. And what does your, at this level of training, what does your diet look like?
I will come to the diet, but I want to point out that how Shashank has inspired me to get into intermittent fasting. And I think if something good has happened with me in 2020 is that I have adopted intermittent fasting as a way of life. Of course, my fasting time and eating window are different. Rather than 16-8, I follow 14 to 15 and 9 to 10, something like that, because that suits my schedule. So currently my routine looks like I eat my first meal at somewhere around 10-10:30. And I eat a lot of fruit. I have one hot dish, maybe like poha, idli, something like that. And I have a plant-based protein drink. It's quite simple, that's all. Sometimes I have the plant-based protein drink. Sometimes I have trout and anything which is high in protein. After that, I have my lunch at around 1:30. Between that, I just have some water and everything. I have my lunch at around 1:30. It is a big bowl of salad with a lot of tofu and seeds and some dry fruit. I don't eat roti. I don't consume wheat. That is my personal preference because my gut feels happy without wheat. So I consume a lot of rice. And then around 5 o'clock, I have some maybe a handful of dry fruit. Maybe some fruit like banana or something like that. And in the dinner, I prefer soup or khichdi along with sometimes I have tofu, sometimes I have hummus or something like that. Once in a while, I consume maybe twice or thrice a month when I have really long workout, I consume protein shake. That is again plant-based protein shake. That's all. So it's very simple diet. It is more oriented towards the plant-based sources.
Wow. So two big takeaways for me from there. First of all, I'm so happy that we could click something in your mind that you tried IF, and I'm amazed that someone who is at your level of endurance training is doing intermittent fasting and yet not losing muscle. I think that's a amazing
Yes.
data point which I would not have guessed. In fact, you have just opened up a mental block in my head. Because I used to think that at that level of endurance, perhaps fasting wouldn't work. Although I know of many triathletes who actually do intermittent fasting because at that level of endurance training, your glycogen stores cannot sustain you. You have to keto adapt your body. You have to get your body into a fat adapted state. So logically, it used to make sense, but unless you hear an example of someone doing it that you feel very scared. So that's amazing to know. But the second thing that I want to, sorry, if I may ask, I'm very intrigued by one question that when you're saying you're running 30 to 40 kilometers in your long runs or doing 6 to 7 hours of cycling, that's basically 2 to 3,000 calories burnt in one workout, right? Do you, from a calorie intake point of view, do you think about it that you need to now compensate for that much calories, or that's not a consideration for you at all?
I'll be very honest. To be very honest, I have never calculated the calorie. I'm not that data fanatic, but I've never calculated that, 6 7 hours of cycling would burn this much calories, 4 hours of running would this much burn. I just simply, when I complete my workout, I eat a really good meal. I eat like maybe half papaya, three bananas, another fruit. Then I have a big bowl of salad or whatever my wife makes. She's a nutritionist. And of course, I tell you, we both started intermittent fasting together during the lockdown, I think in the March end. 3 months we experimented. Every month we checked our data. Every month, what is the fat loss? What is the muscle loss? Whether it, of course, we lost the weight, but the best part, we have not lost the muscle. We have lost only fat. And if you remember, during your session, I used to ask question, Shashank, how can a triathlete think about intermittent fasting as a way of life? Because our training is quite intense, and we need to eat a lot in order to,
Yes.
Recover and all. So I think now I figured out a solution that, in intermittent fasting also, you have to decide any window above 13 to 14 hours is very good enough. So I have decided to have the window of 14 to 15 hours of fasting and then rest of the time eating. Coming to your question was, I just need to recall what was your question in this?
Do you look at calories in, calories out, because you're
Yeah.
working
So
with it?
I don't look at the calorie, whatever calorie I burn after I come back from long run or long bike. I know my table is ready for the food, and I just eat as much as I can. And I listen to my body. My body tells me, okay, now it is full. And yeah, but at the same time, I keep an eye on what I eat. So I have a simple belief that if you are clean eating, if you are clean eating, and if you are eating a nutrient dense food, probably you don't have to get so much into the calorie counting and all that. I mean, I would like to say one more point, which is very much related to the endurance, at least, and the people who are into the endurance, and you can relate it very well. When somebody does a long run on Sunday, they feel like they have got the right to eat whatever they like, whether it is jalebi, samosa,
Absolutely.
pizza, whatever.
Yeah.
And
Might be the reason they did the long run in the first place.
yeah, so it is the concept remains very simple. Even if you're on a weekday, you do a long run, you get the right to eat something. I mean, you get the right to indulge in whatever you like. How I keep it for myself, I indulge in whatever I like, whether I like brownies or cake. I indulge in that once in a week. That's all, one time. Because I believe if you want to perform good, if you eat good, you perform good. And it gets multiplied. It gets compounding. It's not like the today I've done 50 kilometers, 55 kilometers cycling and all that. That doesn't mean that I'll eat the cake and all that. I need to make sure that I eat the food which helps me to recover fast, And also, it helped me to perform better with the period of time, at the time goal. Because one thing we need to accept, we all are aging. I mean, I'm in mid-30s, and we know that, you know, the only way we can up our fitness level is by consistently doing our workout, staying consistent, and eating good, so that you can increase our fitness level.
And, you know, absolutely agree, if I may add to that. So, of course, I've never done training at your levels, but in my own meager way, there was just one point of time in life when I think I was about 26 years of age, when I'd run 4 half marathons and I now wanted to train for a full marathon. And I was in Calcutta at this time. I was posted in Calcutta. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to have a lake very near my house. One round of the lake was about 4 kilometers. Good. So I said I'll train for a full marathon, which is basically 10 rounds of this lake. That's a sad story that I trained. I got up to 36 kilometers in my trial runs, and then the marathon got cancelled and I got so demotivated that I never did it again. But in my trial runs, when I used to run 30 odd kilometers on the weekends, on my long runs, I used to come back and there was this Chinese restaurant at the corner of the street where I used to live. And I used to go, like, I spent the last 5 kilometers dreaming about this chop suey that I would hog once I went back. And it felt good that you just run 30 odd kilometers. No matter how many calories you eat, you cannot, you know, eat more than what you burned right now. But then later on, when I switched to saying, okay, rather than one big bowl of chop suey, because I realized that it doesn't help me recover, it doesn't give me nutrition. I used to take a lot longer to recover and my aches and pains used to be longer. I said, let's try and eat 2 to 3 bowls of the salad that I love and put all the nuts and all the berries and all the feta cheese that I used to love, but were very calorie dense. And the feeling, the euphoric feeling of the end of a run only gets multiplied when you top it off with healthy food that you can eat to your heart's content. So to anyone out there who is feeling that, you know, I'll do a long run and then have samosa jalebi, just give healthy food a shot and eat to your heart's content. The euphoria will get multiplied. Like you'll love how you feel at the end of it. Awesome. Let's come back now and get to, let's say I'm a 35-year-old who generally runs at best 2 to 3 kilometers on a treadmill in a gym. And now I want to get into long distance running and eventually into maybe triathlons. But let's say I'm going to start off with long distance running. What are the 2-3 quick things that I need to do from a, like, do I need to buy some specialized shoes from an equipment lens or good, you know, a good t-shirt and shorts from a hydration and nutrition lens? What do I need to prep for to get started?
So before I give a quick guideline about this question, of course, it's going to be a long answer, but you did a nice 10K run. I mean, I know you are being humble, but you did a nice 10K run. Just 3 days back, I saw you did a very good 10K run after such a long break. You could do in 1 hour, just 7 minutes. That's good. That means your fitness level is in the endurance sport is still very, very good. So if you aim to get into the endurance sport, whether increasing your running mileage or eventually getting into triathlon. So the first thing I would say, follow a structured program. If you are comfortable to work with a coach, figure out a good coach who have a good connect with you and start following the structured program, whether it is for full marathon, half iron distance, or an Ironman triathlon. Okay, the guidelines remain pretty same. Number two, the first thing, the consistency. You know, you do 10K, good. But next day, or maybe after 3 days, again, you are not doing anything, the 10K is gone. So it's like every day you have to work. Okay. So the first thing, get a structured training program and follow that, or get a coach who can design a structured training program. Number two, start putting a focus on your nutrition. You know, now one had to revamp, you know, what do you eat in a day? If you have a nutritionist or dietitian, otherwise, I think you have a pretty, pretty good knowledge about the food from your own journey, because you had been through the transformation. So you know what food you should eat. And again, we have to revamp what we need to eat in a day and how should we plan our meal. Number three, you have to make a hydration and nutrition strategy. So So when I say hydration and nutrition strategy, it is a strategy that will be during the training hour. So suppose if you are running for 1 hour, what is your nutrition? What is your hydration strategy? So hydration strategy could be, I need to take water or electrolyte every 10 to 15 minutes. Now I tell you one important point. Why I'm putting this point, I come across a lot of trainers and a lot of people. I ask them, how often do you take the water? I said, I take the water at 4 kilometer max. I take the water at 5 kilometer max. Like 5 kilometer in Ahmedabad and 5 kilometer in Mount Abu, two different things. So cut down kilometers. You need to put a time. So you have to formulate number one hydration strategy. So every 10 to 15 minutes, I'll have one sip of water if you are doing a small run or small bike. But if you are doing anything beyond 1 hour, I would suggest you to get the electrolyte. Because when you run, you sweat. When you sweat, you lose the salt, minerals, everything from the body. Now, water will replenish only the water, the thirst. While electrolyte will replenish the thirst as well as it will restore the minerals and salt that you lose in the sweat. So it is very important to have the electrolyte in your training. So you need to have the hydration strategy. Second, you need to have the nutrition strategy. For 1 hour, it's fine. You can run without having any food. But if you are running longer, you need to plan your nutrition. Whatever you are comfortable with, whether you can have the natural source or you can have the manufactured source. So natural source means you can have the date, you can have anjeer or something like at every. The general tendency is every 40 to 45 minutes have something. If you are going for cycling, for example, like I do 6 to 7 hours of cycling, I cannot carry so many bananas. So I have to rely on gel. So yeah. That way you have to formulate based on your training phase. So first phase is base building. Second is build. Third is competition. Fourth is pre-race, then tapering, then race, and then recovery. So based on that, depending on the training volume, one had to make the strategy for hydration and nutrition.
Got it.
Now, that is during the training hour. That is during the run, during the bike, during the swim. Once you finish your workout, you should have a good post-recovery meal. When I say good post-recovery meal, it's a balanced meal, which has a carbohydrates, which has a fat, protein, everything. So that you get the quick recovery.
Got it.
So number one is training. Number two is nutrition, in general nutrition, and then nutrition and hydration during the workout, during the training. And third thing is, now coming to the equipment, apparel, gadget, it's a very big world, especially in the triathlon. You know, I tell you one interesting thing. After second Ironman, I realized somebody told me in Italy, dude, the triathlon is like a golf. I said, yeah, you are right. I mean, we have been investing so much of money. So triathlon is like a golf of endurance sport. You know, it's of course, one needs to, it involves a good amount of finances because, for example, if you are, your question was, you are a beginner and you want to go for a triathlon. So I would say, get a good running shoes. If you are not sure about your feet, at least you can check out whether you have a flat feet or the arch or something. If you have a normal arch, I would say go for the neutral shoe. Any neutral shoe, whether it is HS, Nike, whatever. Okay. Invest in a good pair of running apparel and a running short, which should have a pocket to keep the gel and to keep a key or key for your car or motorcycle, whatever. And then nice running t-shirt. That's all. A cap. That's all for running. For cycling, whenever my trainer, I had a trainer from all background, people who are very rich, people who are doing the job, and I mean every sort of financial background. And when they asked me, which bike should I buy? I have the budget of 5 lakhs. I said, no, you buy a bike of 40 to 50,000. Even that would be my advice to you as well. Buy a normal medium range bike, 40 to 50,000. And if you can get a second-hand bike, well, that is the best thing. From a trustworthy source, if you can get a second-hand bike for 30 to 40,000, invest in that. Train in that. When I did my first Ironman, trust me, my bike was the lowest configured bike in the entire Ironman course. It is a Claric group set from where the gear set starts. Claric is the bottom mode.
Yeah.
And when I racked my bike on the Ironman Malaysia bike rack, I could see that, this is the lower grade bike in the entire rack. So I always tell people that invest in a normal road bike. Do your first triathlon. Do your first Ironman. After your first Ironman, your decision, you will get the clarity about life, whether you enjoy this sport or not. If you enjoy this sport, invest in a triathlon bike. For the swimming, nothing, just nice costume, which is available at Decathlon, any costume, swimming goggle and cap. What I would say, which I have realized a lot in our country, and once upon a time, it was my belief also. I'm not saying that. I also learned from my journey. What I learned from my journey in endurance sport, invest in the training. Invest in training rather than equipment.
Absolutely. Can't agree more. And I think it's true of most things in life that to get started, you don't really need the best equipment and stuff in the world. And as you earn it, as you get to that level, you will become clear what is it. Because equipment, optimization, these are all optimizations.
Yes.
First, get something to optimize. I discovered running in loops. So if I was doing a 1 hour run, it would be actually 5 or 6, 10 to 12 minute loops around the same route. And then at one point in the loop is where I would have kept the bottle, which is a safe place. So either the guard of some building or some hidden spot somewhere, jahan se it won't get stolen. Although in Calcutta, my bottle used to get stolen a lot, especially when I moved to Gatorade, when I moved to electrolytes, because I was doing those 3-4 hour runs, water didn't cut it. The Gatorade bottle used to get stolen a lot.
Yeah.
But such is the running life. And the second one I found a big hack on, which was a huge problem for me, was shoelaces. Shoelaces keep getting opened up on long run, especially. So the hack, I thought I will monetize this hack at some time, but I'm assuming this is a common thing, is shoelaces get opened because the flaps keep flapping and they get loose. If you insert them into the crisscross, which is the tight part of the, then they won't flap and then they won't open.
Yeah.
So many people...
Learning. Small learning from the endurance sport.
These hacks really help a lot. And then I guess all of us have our own ways. Like Ingit and I were discussing that at least till now, I don't wear shorts with compression inside, but most triathletes and long endurance masters do wear shorts with compression inside, etc. And it makes sense because if the compression part of the shorts is where you have your phone pocket, etc., it doesn't flap. It doesn't, keep shaking all over the place. Plus, I would also suggest if you are if music helps you run, make a playlist which keeps you going even when you get tired. Although I'm told, and I've also experienced this, that beyond a point, you have to train your mind to bring the music. Music will not carry you for very long. But in the beginning, at least in my experience, it really helps.
2 points I would like to share since you mentioned about the shoelaces. In Ironman Philippines, that was my third Ironman in June 2018. During the run, my lace it got open around 9 to 10 times. Imagine I'm in a marathon segment of Ironman. My lace is getting open. I was getting frustrated at probably not 10, I did more than 10 to 12 times, I think. I was, because Philippines was very, very humid. Okay. And at every aid station, which was located at 1.25 kilometer, we were pouring literally the mug of, chilled water on our head. It's too humid, too hot. There are so many other factors which are bothering you. And then the silly lace, we got open around 10 to 12 times. And I was like, I need to figure out, because I was always looking for a solution that, once the shoelace is tied up, it should not open. But the one thing that I learned, of course, from the triathlon, you try to save. There is something called free gain. Free gain means taking up any method or tool or any technology that allows you for free gain. The free gain, for example, I give you an example. So I have put the lock laces. In lock laces,
nice.
I don't have to tie the laces.
Yeah.
So if you just calculate, even in the transition, when you are transitioning from bike to run, you will put on your running shoes. Even if you invest 30 seconds tying both the laces, and if it gets open, that's a different trouble that I have faced. You save around 1 minute just by putting the lock laces.
Amazing. Yeah.
So one.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So lock laces is a very good investment. Hardly, I think, not even 100 or 150 rupees. And the best part, it allows your feet to be free. Sometimes what happens, we tie the lace very tight. And maybe after the 15 minutes of run, we realize, oh no, I think I have tied up too fast. I need to loose up and again retie. So the lock lace is the elastic lace. It is the best solution. It's very easy to put the shoes on, go for a run, put out. Simple.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And it's amazing to know that as a triathlete, you did this once you were troubled in a full triathlon. So again, goes back to the point that, you know, equipment hacks won't get you to the triathlon. Once you get there, well, you will find your own hacks along the way, but don't wait for the perfect start that, oh, I don't have lock laces yet, so I won't.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, I bought the lot. I mean, though it is just 100 rupees, yeah. But you know, sometimes you learn. You learn in a big way. You are in a marathon, your lace is getting open 10 times, that too in Ironman, Philippines, hot and humid race. You are frustrated. Another silly frustration is adding to your... And then I realized I should invest in the lock lace, and it has really saved my life. So that's one thing. Another thing you mentioned about the loop. You know, I want to tell a very good point. If you have a workout like 20 kilometers run, of course it looks big. But if I say, you go 1 kilometer, come back 1 kilometer, do it 10 times. The number has suddenly reduced to half psychologically. So when I do the long run last weekend, I did 30 kilometer run. I did 3 kilometer loop 10 times. So it, you know, it makes mentally very easy. So I have one chai wala who is a friend of mine. I mean, because he see me running every day. So he said, hi, hello, good morning. I say, you take care of my bottle. I'll put my bottle and gel here and I'll run free. Because I don't like to run with the bottle for a long distance. Sometimes water doesn't spill, but you know, the water, I mean, when the volume of the water gets low, it just bother you if water is going up and down, so it's better to keep the zipper. So when there is a long run, I would always suggest do a small loop. Psychologically, it becomes easy. Mentally, it is less taxing, and you don't have to worry about the hydration and nutrition. You can keep it at any point, whether with a security guard or chai wala or something like that. So it helps a lot.
Superb. All of us find our hacks. I love the local chai wala hack. I'm going to try that also.
Yeah.
Okay. So finally, Ingit, I think we've learned a lot about endurance sport, how to approach it, the technical aspects of it, the mental aspects of it. I want to end with asking you, why do you enjoy endurance sports? Because a lot of people, at least from the outside, like there are friends of mine who tease me saying, you own a car, why are you running 20 kilometers? Yeah, so from the...
But sometimes people may say that you drive 10 kilometers to run 20 kilometers and then... 20
kilometers and come back. Yeah, so why do you run? Or why do you do triathlons? Why do you do endurance sports? What do you enjoy?
Good question. I would say few points. Number one, I love suffering. The suffering that it comes from the endurance sport.
I want to do a slow clap on that point.
No, I sometimes when I run at 11 in the morning or 12 in the morning, sometimes I go deliberately, I go late. Just 2 weeks back, I started my run at 10:45 deliberately because I wanted to face the sun. I want to face every situation so that I don't have any point in my mind that this race was hard, it was humid, it was hot. When people complain that Mumbai Marathon, it was very humid. It was supposed to be humid. It was not that day that suddenly became humid. It's better you train in the humid. You train in the late morning. Like, you know, make yourself comfortable with the run in the heat or sun or humidity. So number one, I love suffering. Number two, honestly, if I be on a bit of, not philosophy side, but it teaches you to embrace the life. I embrace whatever, whether it is hot, humid, raining, headwind, tailwind. It allows you to embrace the situation, and that helps you in the life also. It allows you to embrace the challenges and get over it. Number three, the most important thing now I realize, it is the time that I get with myself. I mean, today it's very difficult to stay disconnected from the phone. Even if you want to, but you are dependent on so many things that you have to take the phone. So I think that is the time that you can spend with yourself. Fourth, it allows me to eat something that I love, and I can eat in plenty.
Superb. I can't state those reasons better. And I just hence want to add to your third point that, you know, it's only long distance running in my case. I haven't done swimming and cycling yet. That makes me lose myself. Like after a certain point, I forget everything in the world, because this repetitive motion of just putting one step after the other and running in a loop, I just forget everything. I'm just in the moment running.
Yes.
A very, very few things in modern day life that get me into that zone. And I love that about endurance running. So thank you so much, Ingit, for joining us today. It's
great.
It's been a real pleasure, especially because I'm personally just getting back to endurance. So remembering what it used to be like from a stalwart in the area has been great for me. And I hope our listeners learn from it a lot too. Thank you.
I mean, same here. Absolutely pleasure connecting with you, sharing our journey. I mean, of course, your transformation is something I have told a lot of people about. And I think the biggest learning in my life from you, or as in overall, I understood intermittent fasting as a lifestyle. And I think it's great. It's something that also that I learned intermittent fasting from you. I got convinced when you conducted the session, and there I realized that intermittent fasting is a lifestyle, and it is a brilliant lifestyle. It is something, you know, that will help you to lead your life in the most easiest way towards the fitness and health when it comes to the nutrition part.
Awesome. I'm so happy to be of help. And with that, I shall stop. If you start loving suffering, then nothing in life can make you unhappy. Thanks for that lesson, Ingit. If you like this episode, don't forget to hit like and subscribe to our channel so we can continue making more of these. And tell us who you'd like us to host next in the comments below. Ciao for now.